if you move on to the elderly Americans part of the poll, now they're increasingly identifying with the Republican Party, whereas in the past they were a bankable source of votes for the Democratic Party. Do we have any possible explanations for that?
I think that, Dr. Maxwell keeps talking about the Obama trigger. I think that that's certainly playing a role, that he seems very different from them. I mean, it surprised me because, growing up and studying politics and talking politics at home, and then, increasingly you would hear things, oh, conservative voters, when mm-hmm. you get older, you get more conservative, that kind of thing. But they were still very much a Democratic voting bloc. I mean, Social Security and lots of government programs that older people rely upon were things that the third rail of politics that you could always count on them to vote democratically. Mm-hmm. And that definitely wasn't the case in the last presidential election. I have a feeling that that's partly because of the baby boom generation. I have a feeling that it's partly because they're doing well and they are among the group that are probably the most worried about their financial economic. Yeah.
For the older community, it's not for the retired community. It's not their unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. It's their retirement that is what's really driving some of them. And so that could be another part of the reason that they're identifying now with fiscal conservatism mm-hmm. more.
Well, and I think that even there's not only fiscal conservatism but social conservatism. I mean, the older generation seeing a new social morality being accepted in the high schools and colleges across the country, and that still feeds into this, I don't know that I fit in this Democratic Party that they've voted with for so long. I don't want to overstate that, though, because I don't want to be interpreted as the Democratic Party's losing its base or something like that. I think that just bases are shifting mm-hmm. because we've seen, as Dr. Maxwell said, there's lots of inroads the Democratic Party potentially has in the South. And I think that that's probably the same true with youth. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily that either party is really losing. It's just more that the coalitions are definitely shifting. Like the Tea Party, they vote at mm-hmm. higher rates than you would think that they would otherwise based on their education and their economic standing. They vote more often. So they've had a powerful voice.
Yeah. And how does the Southern identity define your voting attitude?
Ooh.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that we're learning that Southern identity means very different things.
Yeah.
Even when there was just a while ago, the Blair Center held a conference in conjunction with African American Studies and Latino Studies at the university, and we called it the Status of Black, Brown, Arkansas. And we were talking about the Southern identity, and every time we talked about it in terms of white Southern identity. And one of the things that the survey is showing us now that we have the voices of African Americans and Latinos, we see that they have a Southern identity too. What those mean is something that we really want to dig in our next survey, because in all honesty, just finding out that African Americans have a greater identity to the South than Caucasians was really news to us. Now, what's driving that and what it means to them is something I'm really excited to look at.
I've wrote one article this semester trying to kind of map what these characteristics were that Southern whites who felt Southern mm-hmm. and African Americans who felt Southern shared. Mm-hmm. Where are they connected? And it's really odd, but they have a much higher opinion of how hardworking each other are. And so there seems to be this belief in hard work. They have they're very religious, as I've said before, and much higher numbers believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible. So I think any candidate that's going to win in large numbers in the South is going to have to speak a little bit of that language. Which is a language about redemption and about suffering. I mean, there's all kinds of words and phrases that kind of tap into that feeling that's a major part of someone's life. And they also feel discriminated against, both white and black. They feel made fun of. They feel picked on at much higher numbers than non-Southerners. So there is this kind of I think candidates that try to tap into that, and we've seen that historically work, you know, don't let people make fun of you, and you are the real America, and those mm-hmm. kinds of things really work among, I mean, when we're talking in huge generalizations, mm-hmm. but those tend to work, and those are not just white characteristics. They're African Americans who feel Southern too. The problem is we've got such a large number of people living in the South now that don't see themselves as Southern. And so that's become a problem for trying to analyze Southern politics. And that's mm-hmm. what's another thing that's unique about this poll is we have both people who are geographically living in the South, mm-hmm. and then we also have a way to separate for people who self-identify and feel Southern. And so we can talk about both types of Southern, that physical, you know, geographical Southern and that emotional identity Southern. And they're two very, very different things. And of course, for presidential elections, you know, you got to care about the geography. Mm-hmm. You do. But if you don't understand the other aspect, you know, there's a lot that can be missed. And so it's just a wealth of information we're just kind of starting to kind of mine through.
And that's an absolute point. I mean, the questions that you're bringing up are fantastic, but we asked a lot of questions about discrimination and how often do you feel discriminated at work, by police,
by the courts.
Is your race been used in a derogatory way? We asked that about Latinos and Caucasians and African Americans. We also asked everyone what they thought. What does it mean to be American? And does it mean you have to be a Christian? Does it mean you have to speak English? Does it mean you have to be born here? And a series of those types of things that, in all honesty, we just haven't had the time to get into yet.
What is the future of Blair Rockefeller poll? What else will it include specifically?
Well, one of the things, and we're still just in early discussions about 2012, but one of the things we've discussed is including a longitudinal component in the 2012. So having a large subset of people that participated in 2010, taking the 2012 survey too, so we can start a process of just tracking people. So not only getting a Polaroid of mm-hmm. what's happening at election, but maybe getting a glance at the movie that's changing in people's lives. And here's a person who voted for Obama and now they're not, or someone mm-hmm. who didn't vote for Obama and now they are, or somebody who, you know, supported
Obama. Didn't vote at all.
Yeah, didn't vote at all and now they're here. And so it's another way of us using the resources of these two great institutions to get a really good dynamic portrait of the South. But again, it's not just the South. It's also a very interesting glimpse at the changing racial dynamics of the entire country.
In terms of academics wanting to do research, like we said, we just came up with three different topics we need to look at just kind of talking here. And that's the beauty of this is it's not just for us to publish and build our careers on. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the data will be public, and we want it to be a resource for anyone wanting to publish in this field.
Just to elaborate further on that, I think that our long-term vision is that we'll have this type of information following every presidential election. And so what we hope to become maybe in 10, 15 years is that we're the go-to place when it comes to what's really happening in this geographical region that is driven presidential elections since World War II and this dynamic, changing, party-shifting region. We'll be the one place that has real data on that.
Well, you know, in terms of like questions and things we want to add, I mean, we'd like to ask some social media stuff. We did not ask that the first time around and talk a little bit about how people are getting some of their information. We want to push into this one theory about linked fate and how mm-hmm. much, you know, African Americans, whites, Latinos see their fates as intertwined. If one succeeds, will the other fail? Is it seen as a zero-sum game? And also we want to add some of that. I'd like to add some more theory about religion and how it functions instead of just the, you know, belief in the Bible, hours in church kind of and denomination into some deeper stuff about – because I think it's such a big part of the story right now, both politically and in the region at large. And you know, the ideas just kind of don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I really would like to ask some questions about the perspective of some of these female candidates. I'd like an approval question about Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I'd like to see if that's changed or shifted, if the candidacies of Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and them have hurt people's impression of women's ability to handle politics or helped. You know, that's a whole other can of worms that I definitely want to open.
The other, I guess maybe this is not even maybe 2012, but long term, I want to open up this can of worms of we've always classified people according to their race, and mm-hmm. we see those mm-hmm. walls breaking down, that we're seeing lots of more people saying, well, I'm this and that mm-hmm. and this and that. And so those traditional barriers or silos are going away, and that's going to bring a whole new dynamic.
I mean, one thing that Dean Shields' findings, I mean, that's really interesting and we want to explore more too, one of his reports, you know, noted that, you know, like as he mentioned before, that, you know, African Americans and Latinos, though they were suffering in this economic, you know, times much
more so than
anyone else, they were optimistic about the future. Well, that's may seem like, you know, kind of so what. But for years, we look at that consumer, you know, confidence index to predict if somebody's going to get reelected or if we're going to have a change of the guard. And that may not work with different communities. That may only work with the standard default white America. Maybe that doesn't work for everybody else. Maybe just because the economy down doesn't mean you change leadership. And if that's the case, and if that's not a function of African American or Latino identity or any other identities, then again, we're basing everything we think about politics on kind of a default white behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this country looks like. Hasn't looked like for years, but we haven't had the information.
Maybe not even just a white, but a white male yeah. behavior. Hmm. And so all of that, in all honesty, is just – we've just touched the surface with all of that.
And lastly, what would be some of the most interesting observations that could be made in the next election cycle?
What would we put on distinct to 2012?
Yeah, you know,
what would be
these
like
are
2012?
The things to look
right,
out for.
Right, for 2012.
You know, we'd love
yeah.
to see how this goes.
Oh.
Or
you know, I'm really interested to see if a lot of the new voters that were activated in, you know, 2008, are they motivated to come back again? I'm really interested to see if this fear of the future among the Tea Party, if that's really continuing or not. I'm really interested to see if as the baby boom generation gets into retirement and then they really become dependent upon government programs, is that economic conservatism really going to continue?
Hmm.
I'm really interested to see whether or not African Americans and Latinos begin to see each other as having a linked fate. In all honesty, we talked earlier about game changers. A game changer is if African Americans and Latinos start to see their own fates as interlinked. If that happens and they see themselves as a voting block, then you know you could see a Democratic South again, you know, much quicker than if they're competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested to see if Caucasians start to see. From this global scale, you know, the world is changing for Americans in not just here in the country but around the world. And mm-hmm. if we start seeing ourselves as more linked fate dependent upon how my future is dependent upon your future regardless of your race, and then, you know, then my global concerns become more of a priority than my state concerns or even my county concerns. And so those are all things mm-hmm. that are still, I think, I'm real interested to see, mm-hmm. and whichever way those go, we could have really different futures.
This is very exciting.
It's very fun.
Thank you both for coming to our studios.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you.